So thank you, Cora, for being with us. Today we're with Cora Demmett, and we're at the Tutlin Wildlife Refuge headquarters, just south of Tok, right?
Correct.
And we're here with Barbara Solarius. I'm Leslie McCartney. Today is April 22nd, 2015. And again, I want to thank you, Cora, for talking with us. We've been trying to talk with you for a long time.
You're busy.
Maybe we can just start off. We're really interested in your family background and who your parents were and your grandparents and Glenn's parents and grandparents and where you were born. So if you can tell us a little bit about that.
Well, actually, I'm a lineal descendant of Tetlin, small village just east of here. My grandparents are Big John and Jesse John, my great-grandparents. My grandparents are Belle and Eliza Northway. And my parents are Andrew and Sarah Jimmy. And my husband's name is Glenn Demmett. And his parents are Laura and Joe Demmett. And I don't know who his great-grandparents are.
So where were his parents?
They came from... what's that place?
Nebesna? Benzaniti?
Benzaniti. They're from Benzaniti.
And when did they kind of move up this way?
When Glenn was a very young age, they moved to Northway. And my father, Andrew Jimmy, came from the Nebesna area. He's a first cousin to Katie John.
And then
my dad's mother or dad is a brother to Katie's father and mom.
So then how did he move up this way?
They came from Nebesna to Northway, just traveling.
Was there something in particular that brought them here?
They hunted mostly. And in Northway area, we don't have salmon, so they stayed down in the Nebesna area for salmon and hunting, fishing, and trapping. And then my dad migrated over to Northway for a job. Because in 1940, 41 area, somewhere around there, they built that Northway Airport airfield. So he took a job there. So that's how he ended up there for a job.
And so your parents must have met in Northway?
They met in Northway. My mother was born and raised in Tetlin. And I remember as a young child going to school in Tetlin myself. Kindergarten, first grade.
So what year were your parents married then? Do you remember, Cora?
Oh my gosh. I can't even remember. Because my oldest brother is 75.
Oh.
So it had to be in that era somewhere.
And what's your birthday? When were you born?
1946.
Mm-hmm. What day and month?
Halloween!
October 31st.
I'm a good goblin.
So you were born in Tetlin?
No, I was born in Northway.
Northway.
I was born in Northway.
But how did you end up going to school then in Tetlin?
When I was a young child, my mother and them... my mother and my dad, they lived in Tetlin for a while and raised their children there. And then when my dad took that job in Northway, they just kind of more or less moved that direction. And so did my grandmother. And because my grandparent, Bill Northway, is the oldest brother, Walter Northway, and he's originally from Northway, so... That's where my grandmother settled down with him.
Mm-hmm. And do you have memories of your grandparents at all?
I don't remember my grandfather very well. Mm-hmm. I know my mom remembered my mother and my grandmother because the two ladies are the ones that raised me. Mm-hmm. I lost my dad when I was 3. So my mother raised 5 kids hunting, fishing, and trapping.
So she did all that.
She did all that. We live in a small fishing camp, Charlie Skin.
Mm-hmm.
That land belongs to my mother, 160 acres of it. So we have tent frames and stuff that I was raised in. We had no house. It was a frame log.
Like a wall tent?
Wall tent frame lumbers. And the top was tent. Wood stove. Two beds, one for mom, one for grandma, and the kids slept on the floor. And every morning when we get up, we just roll our beddings up. That's where I was raised.
All year round, Cora? Or is it mostly
snow? No, in wintertime, she would take us to Northway where we had a log house, one-room dwelling log house. There again, slip on the floor. I went to Bureau of Indian Affairs School there in Northway at a very young age, after I came from Tetlin back to Northway. And in April, every year, 1st of April, she would take us out of school and take us back to Charleston to hunt fish and trap. Because in that 1st of April, the muskrats and beavers and those stuff start coming out. So that's what she took us back for. Every April, just right on the dot.
And did she teach? She taught you how to hunt and trap fish?
At a very young age, I remembered I was carrying rifle and around when I was 7, 8 years old.
Now you said there was 5 of you, so you had an older brother.
I had an older brother.
And his name is?
Brady.
Uh-huh.
And then there's me, and then my Nick's brother. He was killed in a car accident in 1970.
Oh, what was his name?
Ernie. And then my sister Twyla, who lives in Fort Yukon.
Uh-huh.
And then my youngest sister Florence, who lives in Northway right now.
So you were the oldest girl.
I was the oldest daughter, yeah.
Right.
And then my brother, I just lost my brother in November of...
which brother?
Brady, my oldest brother.
Oh, and where did he live?
He lived in Northway.
Northway too. I'm mm-hmm. sorry to hear that.
So that remains 3 of us because we lost a brother in a car accident in 1970.
But being the second oldest and the oldest girl, your mom must have taught your brother how to hunt and trap fish too. And then did she teach you any of the things to do in the house and sewing too?
He did. She did. At a very young age, she was really strict. She taught us how to cook, sew, hunt fish, trap. Everything she did, we always kind of like followed her around. Because she set a good example because we watched, we learned hands-on. Like if she wants us to cut fish, she'll do it the first time and she expects you to do it. And we live right by the creek, so the fish was abundant.
Did you have fish wheel then? Or just
no, we had dip nets.
Dip nets.
Mm-hmm. And remember, I lived in this one room dwelling. It's very ancient.
So you were fishing for whitefish?
Whitefish and pikes and suckers and I think that's about it we had.
Did you smoke the fish then, Cora?
We cut and we smoked the fish and sometimes she has underground freezers where she would store some of her fish and her berries and dry meat, dry fish and stuff. Because we had cash, but it's too hot in the summer for that. It was always root cellar stuff.
So she was collecting food for all of her family, and then did she also have to feed her mom and other people too?
My grandmother worked right along her.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And my grandma lived to be over 100 plus years.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She grew up with Walter Northway. She said they're about the same age. They played together, she said. Huh. Lost my mom when she was 85. That was pretty devastating, especially when you only know the two figures in your life. Because mom never remarried, and neither did my grandmother. So the only two figures I ever knew was those two ladies. I never had a father, never had a grandma. And my mother's the only child.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, I don't have aunties or uncles on her side.
Right.
In our culture, everything falls on your mother's side. And my dad has 2 brothers. I just lost a uncle in March. Oh, excuse me. February. And now I only have 1 uncle. In reality, that's it. Because like I said, mom's the only child.
That's very unusual that she was the only child.
Yeah. She was treated with royalty.
I can imagine. Very strong role models, Cora.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong women.
My mother was very strict. If she tell you to do something, she better not tell you again. That's the kind of background she came from. Because my grandparents' siblings, my grandma's brother and sisters, were strong people. They came from strong family background. And then it just fell all the way down on that lineage, you know. Because my grandmother was, and my mom are very humble people. They just minded their business, stayed home, took care of the visitors and all that stuff, fed people that they don't even know. And that's what they do. They like to do that.
Right.
And that's the kind of background that I came from. And I remember all that because I'm the oldest of the sisters too.
Right.
And I thoroughly enjoyed my background because my mom and grandma were very humble.
Mm-hmm. And maybe we should just say for the purposes of the recording, the name of the clan that you're with or the people that you're with.
My tribe is Tsakayu. And my husband's tribe is Naltsin. So we're two different opposite of each other.
And that's okay to marry.
It's okay to marry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was your mom in an arranged marriage or your grandmother at all, do you know?
I don't think they were.
Okay.
I don't think they were at that time.
Mm-hmm.
When my grandmother passed away, we buried her in a suit that my grandfather packed from Dawson City, walking. I think it took him about a week to get home, he said. So when she was buried, I had it dry cleaned. I mean, when she passed away, I had it dry cleaned, and that's what she was buried in. It's a wool suit. Can you imagine? Grandma kept it that long.
And he walked from Dawson City back. Why? Would he have been over looking for gold?
Well, they go over to Dawson to get the dry goods, flour, tea, mm-hmm. coffee, and all that
trading.
Stuff.
Trading.
Right.
And they trade.
Trade.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. What did they trade for?
They trade
goods?
Furs and stuff for their goods.
Right.
And my grandfather was an arm wrestler.
No.
So he won money and bought stuff with it.
So was that something that they traditionally did in the village? Arm wrestle?
They do, yeah. They did some sports. And one of them was that arm wrestling, and he was really good at that. So, he won a lot of stuff for that.
So when they go over to Dawson to trade, would they use a dog team to pack everything
They
back?
Used the pack dogs.
Uh-huh.
They had these little pack saddle bags sort of on the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And so they take the dogs with them. And sometimes the terrain is really rough.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, very rarely, they take dog teams. And it takes weeks for them to come back. That's got to be rough.
Yeah.
And did you take dogs when you would go out to Charlie's Skin in the summer?
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. We had these pack dogs also. I remember them.
Yeah.
I mean, we Charlie's Skin to Fish Camp is about, 15 miles maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And we walk from Charleston to Fish Camp,
mm-hmm.
where Ada Gowan and her family lives. And then we bring the dogs over. And then ourselves, we have backpacks. And Mom would trade her furs with a store here in Tok when I was a child. And the store was Gillum's store. And Mom would give him a list in her best handwriting, because she doesn't read or write.
Right.
She would give the bus driver that went back and forth once a week on the Alaska Highway, give him that list. And we all follow her, walk from Charleston to the highway. And she would tell him what she wanted for her furs. It's a little grocery list. Because
mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to read or write by then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so... And then next week he said, okay, I'll be back on that day. So we all go trickle across the lake, walk, carry our little handmade sled or our dogs, and all of us have backpacks because mom gets groceries all the time. So we meet him, and here comes our groceries. And bless his heart, that guy that owned that Gillum store used to put a little candy bar or orange or apple in there. And we don't know how to eat that kind of stuff. Mom had five kids. She split it five ways. I used to save her mind just till the last. So we load up these groceries on the dog packs, mm-hmm. on the sled, on each and every one of us have packs. Mm-hmm. And I used to sit by the trailer and just cry because my pack was too heavy. Even if it's one can of something in there, it's too heavy. Because you gotta walk, you know. And mom said, it's not heavy, get up. In our native language, because mm-hmm. she spoke our native language. And we used to do that. Take it all home. We used to love opening all these backpacks, unloading all our stuff.
And you'd be walking with snowshoes, I take it?
Sometimes we do. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes we do.
And how often did you have to do this ritual?
It's about once every 2 weeks, maybe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because you got five kids, you know, we like to eat.
Yes.
And a lot of our food were also traditional foods. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of moose meat, berries, and roots, and all that kind of stuff that we eat.
So the trap line is simply to, for fur is really for
mm-hmm. fur. And then we ate all those meat and stuff, right. Yeah. And I don't ever remember going hungry. And mom would never receive a handout. They offered it to her, but she refused it. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad she did. And we ate moose meat and all kinds of those beavers and muskrats and caribou, all kinds of berries, all kinds of roots. She stored it all, and those are the best compared to what we eat today, you yes. know. And that's what I grew up on.
Right. You mentioned your mom only spoke your native language, so you obviously...
I'm bilingual.
Isn't that wonderful?
Because at a very young age, when I came out of Charleston, mom thought, okay, you all need to go to school. Somebody embedded that in her. Mm-hmm. And so my brother didn't go to school because he refused to go to school. He more or less was a caretaker of the family because he was the oldest boy. Mm-hmm. But mom thought, I need to go to school. And I said, what is school? Well, we don't know what school is. And I spoke my native language, which is the Upper Ten and Athabascan. Mm-hmm. And when I was put into school, I didn't know what they're saying. It's a Bureau of Indian Affairs school, one class, one big building with one teacher with about 25 kids.
And where was that located?
In Northway.
Northway.
Right okay. by my house.
Right.
And guess what? I was put in the back of the class because I couldn't speak English. Mm-hmm. And I was reprimanded many times for that.
How old were you, Cora, when you
I was about 6, 7. Uh-huh. I should have been in kindergarten or first grade, you know, but here they just threw me into school and I didn't know what grade I was in. Mm-hmm. And we had these meals that were prepared for us by one of the cooks there. And I remembered cornmeal mush, oatmeal. You won't catch me eating cornmeal mush today. I'll eat the oatmeal. Those are just the basics. And you are expected to eat everything. And we're not used to our little stomachs are not used to that kind of food. And boy, did I get sick a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And there goes my mom walking up to school, angry because we had to eat everything. And just these are non-traditional foods, and I got sick many times. And it wasn't only me; there was other kids mm-hmm. that did that too. Mm-hmm. And then along came a teacher from, I believe he's from Virginia or somewhere in that area. John Pettit took us under his wing, loved us for who we were, the native children, mm-hmm. taught us how to read and write. Just at a very young age. And when I got, after I married Glenn and had my own kids, we sent for him. We brought him back to North Bay. So he was about in his 75s or something around there. And we honored him.
Oh, Isn't that lovely?
Dinner, gifts. Because he took time for us. And, you know, taught us how to read and write. And I'm, his daughter and I, Patty, are dear friends. We still keep in contact. She was just a little girl. I'm older than she was. Remember her little blonde pigtails, and we used to pull it because we didn't know what blonde looks like. What does it feel like, you know?
Oh.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And then after that, I went to, they sent me to boarding school in Wrangell Institute. In the 60s.
And that was like high school type of school for boarding school?
It was grade school. Right. And then after that, there again, culture shock, food put on your plate and you're expected to eat it. Got sick again. And then after that, I went over to Mount Edgecombe for my high school years. Mm-hmm. Graduated there in 65.
And did Glenn have the same kind of school in there?
No, he didn't. He kind of went his direction. He went to, I think it was 19, he said that he went to California because they had this program where you have exchange something, some kind of exchange program for young Native men to go elsewhere and try do some trade work where they can learn job skills and stuff. And he got selected to do that, so they went to California. And there was about five of them that went there. He'd learned some trades there and lived on his own and worked for whatever he was making. So that's what he was taught to do.
That's been culture shock for him, too.
It was. And he was raised without a mother. He lost his mother when he was 7.
Mm-hmm.
So his father raised all these kids, too.
He spoke the same Athabascan language as you?
Yes, he does. He's not fluent, but he understands everything I say. Everything. Oh, my life. Yeah, he understands everything. He just, there's some word he can say really well, and there's some he can't.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. And then did you try to teach your children your language?
Oh, yeah. I speak to my grandkids.
Uh-huh.
My language now so that they know and they catch on.
Yeah.
Because gosh, when I was just a little kid, that's all I heard. And that I thought that was just our language. I thought everybody spoke that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that kind of stuff when you're little. So when I went to school, you know, I thought, oops, you know.
Mm-hmm. But, Go ahead. How long was Glenn in California?
I think he was there over 5 years.
A long time.
We were raised up together. We went to school together. So I knew him. We got married in 1966.
Mm-hmm.
We were both very young, against my mother's wishes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why didn't your mom want you to marry?
Well, she thought I was too young. That, back in my era, it's very young. I was almost 21, but still, it was still too young. And he was 24. He's 4 years older than I am. But guess what? Next month, we'll be married 49 years.
Yeah. Congratulations. And then your mom came around and she was happy for you?
Oh, she took his side against me many times. After that. I still miss my mom and grandma.
What? So when did your mom pass away? And you said your
10 years ago.
10 years ago. That's, yeah, and your grandma lived it, you said, over
1 year of each other they passed.
Did they really?
1 year apart.
Oh.
And that was really devastating for me. I could not imagine a world without them.
Right.
I thought they'd be lived forever, you know. Yeah, it took me a long time to get over the fact that they're actually gone, and it was... 2 years ago, I did a memorial potlatch for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of eased the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a way to just let go when we do that, when you do potlatch.
Right.
So I did that.
But your children were lucky that they knew your mom and your grandmother.
They knew them, yes.
Yeah, that's a wonderful, mm-hmm. wonderful gift to give to your children and grandchildren.
Just loving they were, my grandma and mom. They don't say a harsh word to any of my kids. or any of their grandchildren.
But they were strict with you.
They were strict with me. I think because I was the oldest of the daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And like if when they go away, check their traps, sometimes we don't go.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go all the time. We stay home sometimes. And being the eldest, my brother would be out doing his thing, and then I would have to end up watching the kids.
Right.
So I learned to cook and clean at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And I was health responsible. And that they kind of embedded that in my mind that, you know, when we leave you with these kids, you're responsible for them and stuff like that. And it was told to me in our native language. And speaking in our native language, it has more meaning to it,
mm-hmm,
when they speak to you like that.
You had said earlier before we were recording that you had been an alcohol counselor and that you had always felt responsible for helping people. So maybe is that where that came
Well,
from?
I became an, I started drinking when I was 22, I think. I drank for 5 years. Oh, actually 10 years.
Mm.
And that didn't go very well.
Mm.
You know, Glenn drank, and I thought, well, he's having fun. Why can't I have fun? And I start drinking, and the next thing you know, it's not okay. It must cost me my marriage many times.
And how was your mom about this?
My mom did not like it at all. She had to, I had two kids. There were two old girls. And seems like mom always took them. Because we weren't fit to be parents. But 10 years of that, we quit both together at the same day, same time. It's been 42 years.
Good for both of you. Yeah.
That's a long time.
That's a long time.
And after that, a job came open through Tananachis in Fairbanks. And I thought, well, let me apply because I've been there, done that. So I applied and got the job, and I've been a counselor for 8 years.
Mm.
And love what I did, love helping people, but I thought, everybody needs to get well. Okay, you do this, you get better.
Mm.
Doesn't work like that. So I got burnt out, even though I love what I did. And then after that, I took that aside, and then I went to work in the school as special ed aide. And stuck out there, that area for 10 years. And then when this job came open, I thought, okay, since I know my language, my culture and stuff, I thought, I should apply.
That's a fish and wildlife.
Fish and wildlife that I work with now.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the schooling away. I mean, got that out of the way. And I thought, okay, let me apply for this. So I got this job in 1991, and I've been here since.
Wow.
So I have a long history of jobs, but there are different jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And
but they're all people-oriented.
They're all people-oriented. I work with people all the time. And I always feel that my mom always said that, just be who you are. Don't pretend to be someone that you're not. And I'm not ashamed to talk about my background and stuff. And one thing we were taught is not to boast, brag about the things we do.
Mm-hmm.
And she always said, you don't have to do that. They can just see who you are. That should speak for itself, she said. Of course, it's in our language, but. And so I always remember that. Even when things get tough and rough, because there's a lot of hard bumps along the way, mm-hmm, as we grow older and we have families, we have grandkids and kids and stuff. But we get through it. And each time we get through it, you get stronger and stronger. Because I have four daughters and a son. I adopted a son when he was three. And he's in the military right now, and he's in Anchorage, lives in Wasilla, but based out of Fort Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
This is his 16th year. I have an oldest daughter that's paraplegic. In between my two youngest daughters, I lost a daughter to a drowning accident when she was 12. And life has not been easy for me, but like I said, you know, I always remember my mom and grandma's words. You will come out of it. At that time, you don't think you will, but you do. So I learned just to kind of just be, try to be quiet and listen. Even if it's from you, from Barbara or from you, because we learn from each other. We may come from two different cultures, but we learn from each other. You pick up something, you go home with it, and you run with it.
You had two very strong women as role models to,
yes, I
to
did.
Have that strength.
Yes, I did. Yeah. My grandma was very humble.
And I'm sure your mom and your grandma's life wasn't easy either. And
oh,
had
no.
Lots of bumps, so they're, you know.
They lost husbands, you know, they're the backbone of the family, and they have to end up carrying the load of taking five kids, taking care of five of us, and that had to be rough. I mean, we weren't all good kids, you know, we misbehaved.
You were kids.
We were just kids.
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't ever remember Mom hollering at us, and I try not to holler at my children. You know, when you grow up, she said, just don't holler, just talk to them in a normal tone of voice, and they hear you. They don't, you may think that they don't hear you, but they do. Because that's what I tell my kids. Talk to your children in a kind voice. You never know what you leave, plant a seed in them. They hear you. And that's the foundation that I'm on right now. Mm-hmm. When I want to go get upset and want to go hang someone, you know, I remember that. It don't work like that.
Mm-hmm. But going back to the land quarry, you spent the summers on the land in the tent. So throughout your life, did you ever go back and do fish camp with Glenn? Or did
we did years ago, but right now... that the our land there is all flooded.
Is it?
And I'm to blame State of Alaska for it. Forgive me. They bomb. They dynamite the channel.
This is in Northway, right?
Right, in the area that the 160 acre where the land is, and the channel switched on them, so it went the opposite direction and flooded our land. And so it's not a pleasant thing to talk about, because there's things that are legally are being done about it, and that, mm-hmm. and we never went back because it's just full of water now. Right. Where our camps and
yeah.
our fish frames and our caches and stuff were. And that's sad.
Yeah, you can't take your children there or your grandchildren
no.
there and tell them the stories of your grandparents
no.
and they are.
They just have to... remember when they went there and remember it as it is. Because Glenn and I built a little house there. That's where we took our kids. Actually, a house, not a frame.
So when did it flood so that you couldn't go back?
It's about 10 years now.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Mm. And the legal proceedings takes a little while, you know, for it to mm-hmm. actually take place. Mm-hmm. And... when it first flooded, it just broke my heart because it brought too many memories back for me, because that's where I was born and raised, and that's mm-hmm. where we hunted fish trap. And the memories kind of just slid away there. Mm-hmm. And when you go through from fish camp where Ada lives to that little bridge, this is Fish Creek.
Mm-hmm.
If you look over, if you're coming from Northway or if you're coming from the highway on your left, if you look over, you'll see a little black speck, and that's the remaining of the fish frame. Way across the bay. That's where I was. That's where we did. And we only had one family next to us, Mark's family. And that's the only family that we knew. Mom and Grandma gave them permission to live next door to us. And that's the only family we ever knew. And all that family passed away except one son left.
It's still in Northway? The
son's still in Northway. Right. Yeah.
And Northway's really changed over the years, hasn't it?
It has, yeah, it has. Mm-hmm. Just things are not the same as when I grew up. Mm-hmm. When I was a young child, I remember just the peace, people being humble and humility and just everybody getting along, everybody, and people sharing their food and their meat and their whatever traditional food they have, they share. Nowadays, you just don't see that anymore as often. And it's sad that it's happening like that. What happens if all these groceries and stuff go away? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do, you know?
When did it start to change then, Cora? When
well, I think I was probably after the 70s. Mm-hmm. Because in 70s, I think we were still doing good. We were still sharing and stuff. Then all this village politics and stuff gets in the way. And I myself been in the, on the council and the mini boards for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And just things just are different. Mm-hmm. Very different.
Not such a sense of community anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just like you can't tell anybody anything anymore. Mm-hmm. Your deepest secrets. Because by the time it gets down to the fifth person, it's distorted. We never used to do that. I don't ever remember someone say, did you hear that? Did you hear that so-and-so did that? Growing up, I never heard that. And we just enjoyed just living off the land.
And also the amount of people that live in Northway has decreased.
Has decreased. A lot of people have moved on, moved away for jobs. Mm-hmm. Or they married someone from another village and they got to move. Mm-hmm. We used to have a lot of people over there. Mm-hmm. Any more questions? I just touched base. I was skipping around, jumping around.
That's okay.
No, it's been really interesting. You know, one thing I was wondering about, so you grow up with your mom and your grandma. Were there any uncles who were involved in teaching your brothers things about hunting, or did they, your mom, teach all of the kids?
My mom and grandma taught all the kids because we're in this little fish camp. Uh-huh. And we don't see hardly anyone.
So you were pretty isolated.
We were isolated. And once in a while, we'll have visitors from fish camp. Mm-hmm. Or from Northway, people who went to fish camp and they have to go to Charleston. Because you either got to walk or you got to go by boat. Mm-hmm. Old rickety old boat that we own that didn't even have paddle. We use black spruce for our paddles.
Did you pole?
We pole, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then in wintertime, we had dog team from Charleston to fish camp, mm-hmm. or dog packs, or we walk on snowshoes. Mm-hmm. And then summertime, there's a summer trail that goes from fish camp to Charleston.
Uh-huh.
And that's about 15 miles, I said. I mean, we walk. We love that walk.
We
don't think it's 15 miles. Yeah. We did a lot of walking. So we were isolated. Mm-hmm. And if we came out, it would only be to fish camp.
Okay.
Because we don't have no transportation to get to Northway.
Uh-huh.
And that's quite a distance there,
okay.
too.
Okay.
So, and a lot of fish camp people, like Oscar Albert's family and all his children, I'm very close to that family because that's the only people we ever see.
There were just a few people.
Just a handful was mm-hmm. in fish camp.
And because, like you say, your mom was an only child and there wasn't any uncles on that side.
No uncles on that side, or aunties.
So your mom was the only child. So yeah, you're right. No, mm-hmm. no uncles, no aunties. So it wasn't like extended family
mm-hmm.
could come in and help. Yeah.
And my dad has one brother left in Northway, mm-hmm. and that's Ben Albert. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he has first cousins who I adopted as my uncles, and there's three of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're all from the business.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Frank, Louis Frank.
Mm-hmm. Is it Oscar that, Jimmy?
Oscar Jimmy is my real uncle.
Is your real uncle.
My
okay.
dad's brother. Uh-huh. And the three brothers, Steve, Louis, and Harry. Mm-hmm. They right. grew up in the business. Mm-hmm. And they're my dad's first cousin. Their mothers are sisters. My dad's okay. mother and their mother are sisters. So I adopted them as my uncle.
Right.
And they love it.
How did your dad pass away? At such a, well, it must have been an early age.
It's a tragic death.
Oh, I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It must have been very hard on your mom. And
it was,
mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I all, for many years, I envied my friends who had fathers. I couldn't understand how come I didn't have a father, you know. It took me a while to really understand that I don't have a father. I mean, I know who he is, and I know the name. But what would life been with if I had a father?
Yes.
Those are the questions that
or
always...
A grandfather.
Or a grandfather. What?
Yes.
Where would I be? Or what do I do? Or
yeah.
what would I become? And things like that. It always, I don't dwell on it as much now because I'm a little older. But when I was a young teenager, I thought, oh, I just had a father, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I had a grandpa. Because I don't even know the meaning of those two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say it. I don't know how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all I ever know is my mom.
But you had a wonderful mom and grandpa by mm-hmm. the sound of it.
Sounds like she took really
yeah,
good care of you.
Yeah. Wonderful care.
Yeah. And yes, we were disciplined, you know. We misbehaved. We're kids.
Mm-hmm. And with
but don't let her go get your switch for you, you know. She's just, when I misbehave, she said, go out there and go get your switch, in our language.
Mm-hmm.
I get the skinniest one, but guess what?
Skinny
the skinniest one
hurts.
Really hurts. I learned my lesson. That's right. And then when she would spank me, I would say, it don't hurt.
And then you get a
tickles.
More.
It don't hurt. And my brother would just get mad at me. Cry at the first hit. Get it over with. Why get hit some more? He used to just go like that to me with his hand. But I was stubborn. I grew up too fast. I didn't have time to be a little kid.
But then those family circumstances...
I couldn't help it.
No.
I didn't even play with dolls.
Mm-hmm. But you were saying that that probably led you to feel so responsible for other people as you grew up and became older and want to help people.
You know, there was a guy in Walmart... He was ahead of me. This is not part of the story, but it kind of leads into that. I was right behind him, and I looked at him. He felt he looked like he was kind of a little down and out. He couldn't find his money. He just had a few little items there, and I'm in line behind him. He fiddled around in his pocket, all over the place. He couldn't find the money, and I didn't want to embarrass him, and I whispered to him. I said, let me pay for it, you know. He looked at me and he said, thank you, but I know I have my money here somewhere. Whispered back to me. So he eventually found it. It was a $20 bill, all wrapped. That's why he couldn't find
rolled
it.
Rolled up in a little
right.
ball.
He paid for his purchase and he went on that direction. And I put mine on the thing and then I paid for mine and I was just wheeling my basket up and I almost ran into him. He was standing there waiting for me. And he said, I just want to thank you for what you tried to do back there. I said, you know, sir, I said, there was a time in my life when I'm down and out like you were. I just wanted to help. And he said, thank you. And I said, you're welcome. And then I went to my right and he went to his left. Not even 2 seconds. I stopped and I said, I need to get him a Subway sandwich or something. There's a Subway right down here. I turn around. I look for him. 2 seconds into my walk, I couldn't find him. Mm. I tiptoe on my foot. I'm trying to see which direction he went. He can't go very far. Chills went down my spine. Mm. I said, that had to be an angel in disguise. Mm. I just floated out of the Walmart. Things like that. When we do stuff like that, we are being taken care of. Mm-hmm. There's many, many instances when I took that step to do that. That was just one of the examples. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've always been taken care of. Mm-hmm. I don't run short of anything.
It may be difficult along the way, but you always come through.
If I have to make it and sew it with my hands, I'll do so. Mm-hmm. And give it. That's
skills.
The way my mother and grandma were. And it makes me who I am today. Like I said, there's a lot of bumps, a lot of chips that had to fall. But you learn from that.
What are you the most grateful for then, Cora?
I'm grateful for my health.
That's important.
Yes. I'm grateful for my health because that's very important to keep you going. Mm-hmm. I'm a survivor of cancer of 6 years. And when I was diagnosed with cancer, the doctor called and said, you have cancer. I said, me? You must have someone.
Have the wrong number?
You have the wrong person. He said, no. Cora Dimmitt. I said, yes. He said, you need to come in for surgery. I had two surgeries in Anchorage. Mm-hmm. Even through that, I learned how important it is to be nice and kind to other people. Mm-hmm. I treated my nurses and my doctors with utmost respect because they take care of me. One of my nurses' name was Faith. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? I said, are you still named Faith? And she said, yeah. And she said, that's the kind of stuff you need to have, Faith. She said, I said, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And Glenn was reading scriptures to me and it talked about faith. Mm-hmm. It just hit together. I mean, I knew I was going to be okay after that. I just knew and I knew and I knew.
And you are.
And I went through treatment. Regardless of the treatment, I was still nice to people. Nobody even knew in Fairbanks that I was going through treatment. I have family and relatives in Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. And finally, one of them said, what are you doing in Fairbanks? Are you working right here or something? I said, no, I'm here for treatment. You are? She said, boy, you don't look any different. I said, how am I supposed to look? I didn't want nobody to feel sorry for me. But those are the things that makes who you are, you know.
Got better.
I got better. I'm cancer free for 6 years, and every time I get a checkup and they tell me you're in good health, yes, yes, yes.
Mm. And you were saying, we were just talking a little while ago, you're 69, you said?
I'll be 69 this year.
And you have no intentions of retiring.
Not until they bring me a walker and a cane.
What do you love about your job?
I just love the interaction with the people because you learn from all different cultures. Mm-hmm. Where I work at Visitor Center, mm-hmm. you meet people from all over the world.
This is at the Tetlin Refuge.
Correct. Right. And we all have a lot of things in common. Mm-hmm. I mean, you never believe that people from European and all over the place have things in common. I was telling this one person, you know, we have the same blood flowing through our veins. It's red. Mm-hmm. And they just fall over cried. They just cried. They said, oh. Yeah. Stuff like that. And when they walk through the door, they see this native lady, and I better be setting good example for my people. If it's not for me, or my children, my grandkids. Because if I'm going to walk that walk, I have little little ducklings behind me, my kids and my grandkids, watching Grandma mm-hmm. and Grandpa.
They must be very proud of you.
Because Glenn makes, Glenn is an artist.
Oh.
He makes everything out of diamond willow. And he's well respected for that also. And me, on the other hand, I do beading projects. Mm-hmm. I make things.
Yes, that's one of the... I'm sorry, we couldn't meet you in Northway, but we'll have to come another time.
See your bead work. Yes.
I make a lot of things. Uh-huh. I learn on my own,
mm-hmm.
watching my mom. I mean, you should see my first mukluks. The bottom... I can do everything else but the bottom. It looked like it hit the wall and just stayed there. She looked at it and she turned it upside down, looked around, and she said, "You gotta take it out and do it again." I said, "What? That's good job." She said, "No, it's not. I'm sorry." "Do I have to?" "You have to take it out and redo it. It doesn't look like moccasin," she said. "Great." So reluctantly, I took it all apart. She didn't take it apart for me. I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Now, watch me." So she did it one side, and she said, "Now you do it this side. Very carefully." Because when you do projects, you do not rush. And that's what I did with that first one. Mm-hmm. I rushed. I wanted to get it out of the way. Didn't work. I had to end up doing it again. So the second one I did, it turned out okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my mom passed away, because mom made us everything. She made everything, even because we had no toys when we were kids. She made our moccasins, our mukluks, our clothing, mittens, hat, just... that you would pay zillion of dollars for now.
I wonder when she ever got to sleep when she hunted.
That's what I always wondered. We never know what our colors on our moccasins will be. When does she do that? We talk about it years later. I said, "When did mom ever do that? While we sleep or what?" Because we don't know what kind of colors our beads are going to be.
Uh-huh.
She was doing it when we're not looking.
We never figured that out.
Interesting question.
Yeah, we never figured that out. I asked my older brother because every Christmas we got new moccasins.
Uh-huh.
Every Christmas.
All five of you.
All five of us. And I asked my brother, I said, "You ever remember mom? We see her so, but we don't know, we don't pay attention to her.
Right.
We're too little. So we never knew what the color of our moccasins going
to
be.
She must have worked day and night.
She had to. Bless her heart, you know. So I pick up that trait.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughters do.
Oh, they're good sewers?
They're beaters.
Beaters.
Wonderful beaters.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter just produced a 5x7 trooper patch.
Mm-hmm.
Alaska State Troopers,
mm-hmm.
that little patch that you
yep.
see on there.
Mm-hmm.
She enlarged the picture and uh-huh. did it
in beads.
Mm. In beads, intricate.
So it passed through lots of generations then.
And skills. Then she did this too.
Uh huh.
It's in Anchorage office right now.
Mm. Oh, that's nice.
That's lovely. The
beads
US
are.
Wildlife
yes.
Service. Beautiful.
It's at Anchorage.
At the headquarters.
At the mm-hmm. headquarters.
Well, you must be very proud, Cora.
Just intricate.
Mm-hmm.
So her name's Sherry. She does wonderful beaver. My daughter, who's paraplegic, does necklaces and earrings and bracelet and stuff.
And where does she live, Cora?
She lives in my house right now.
Oh, does she?
But she's moving to Fairbanks next week.
Oh.
In a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
She's going back to school.
Good for her. Is she going to the university?
Or, yeah.
And what is she going to be taking?
I don't know.
Oh.
And then my youngest daughter in Mentasta is almost got her bachelor's in early childhood development.
Wonderful.
And then my other daughter is in Michigan running a factory. and Sherry in Northway School.
Mm-hmm. So they've all done very well.
And my son in Army.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
You must be very proud of them all.
I am.
Yeah.
And I don't say very much to them, but they know I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it looks like your mom's teachings have come through you, have gone to them.
Boy, with a lot of hard lessons to learn along the way, because sometimes I get stubborn. One time I asked her for $10. I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm. This is your mom. Mm-hmm.
Could I have $10? And I don't even remember what it was, $10 for it. Back then it was a lot of money. Get a job, she said. I go, what? You're my mother, you're supposed to give me $10. I never forgot that. I shared that with Sylvia just the other day, that kids get away so much right now. They just want to sleep and eat and stay home. And I mean, these are grown men who still live with their parents and don't get a job. So at 14, I worked for a YCC group for $1 an hour.
Mm-hmm. What were you doing?
Cutting grass, picking up garbage for $1 an hour. That was a lot of money back then. You had 10 cents and you had 10 little candies.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the days.
Yeah, that's right.
We used to work for elders so they could give us candy or something, pile in all their wood and bring all their water and wash their dishes, clean their house. Sometimes we didn't get nothing, but that was okay. Mm-hmm. If they had a candy, fine. If not, that's okay. We just did it because what mom and them tell us to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They say, when you do that, they bless you with long life. She said, you never know what they think toward you while you're sitting there. They can't do their chores. And you come in and you go zip around and do all their chores for them. And they watch you and they bless you, she said. My grandma told me that. So I do that. I have an uncle that's can't get around very well. Every other week I do his laundry. Volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
I like doing it. It makes him happy.
The lessons you learned from your mom.
Yeah. You're helping him. And you'll be blessed.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful.
Of course, if I tell more stories, we'll be here for 4 days.
Yeah, I was going to say, we should think about wrapping up.
Yeah, I really.
And I appreciate you guys finally cornering me.
Yes, thank you very much for.
Thank you, Cora. We really
taking the time.
It. Yeah, thank you. So
I didn't know about your connections to the park.
Yeah. My dad.
Yeah.
That was my
that
connection.
That was great.
And I'm very close to Kitty John and her family because of that.
Mm-hmm.
They know who my dad is.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that, you know, because when Katie was alive, because my daughter lives in Ventasta, we go there all the time. After we visit Sarah and her children, we walk down to Katie, and there she is, just so happy to see me, because she know I'm Andrew Gibby's daughter.
Uh-huh.
She pulls out her dry meat or dry salmon strips
which
or whatever she has. Here it comes. And cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wonderful? Oh, when she passed, I did miss her bad.
Yeah. Did I see you at the funeral?
Yes.
I thought so.
I was honored also there.
Mm-hmm. So I'm supposed to tell you hello from Sue. That's our next stop. Sue and Frank.
I know them very well, too. So, well, thank you, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Cora.